Thank you for joining us for today's Pulpit Hour, a message from God's Word brought to you by The Preaching Channel. To listen to this message in its entirety again, to download it, or to choose from a variety of other messages, or to listen to preaching 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, log on to WGCRpreaching.net.
Our lives. If you would turn your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter number 23. Just got two verses tonight. I want to deal with a subject that in my lifetime, when I was younger, I never thought this would be controversial, but it is today. And it has even become controversial among God's people. And I really don't understand that tonight. I don't see how anything in the Bible should be controversial to God's people. We are supposed to be Bible believers. If we love, right? Am I right there? Amen. It got kind of quiet there. We are supposed to be Bible believers. If we're saved and we love the Lord and Jesus Christ as our Lord and Master, then His Word ought to be what we want to honor and follow. But in our day, sadly, we've seen so many of God's people turn away from multiple Bible truths. And then we wonder why that we have so much trouble in our homes. We wonder why we have trouble in our schools and in our society. And I really believe if we would just get back to obeying what thus saith the Word of God, it'd fix a whole lot of our troubles tonight. Amen? So we want to look at a portion of Scripture tonight that I think is very, very important in the home. And if you have raised your children tonight, then this may not mean a whole lot to you. But if you're in the midst of raising them, especially in their little tonight, then I pray we can give you a little instruction out of God's Word that'll help you. Let's stand tonight as we honor and reverence God's Word. Let's begin our reading in verse 13, Proverbs 23, verse 13. We'll read two verses and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Verse number 13, the Bible said, "Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I do thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being in your house this evening. And thank you, Lord, for what you have allowed us to enjoy thus far. The choir singing, the special songs, the testimonies. Lord, it's already been worth it just to come out tonight and meet with your people. Lord, you've given me a message on my heart, and I pray that you'd help us to transfer this message to the heart of your people. Lord, I know this is something in our day that seems to be shunned so much. But I'm thankful, Lord, to be raised in the generation I was raised in. I'm thankful, Lord, to know what these verses are talking about. And I pray tonight, Lord, if there's anyone in this congregation that is not settled on disciplining their children, I pray tonight, Lord, you'd open their heart. I pray you'd let them see the Scripture and then agree to side with you. Lord, I believe the only hope for our children is to follow your Word. Help us as parents to do that and be faithful to what you've called us to do. And we'll praise you, for it is in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Thank you for standing tonight. Now, I want to look at these two verses. They're pretty self-explanatory. But as I was reading this some time ago, verse number 14, the last phrase really is what caught my attention. And that's where I want to go tonight. And we'll look at both of these verses in detail. The Bible says a whole lot about correction and discipline, especially when it is concerning a child. And you find much of that mentioned in the book of Proverbs. There are several references in this book to disciplining a child and bringing a child up in the fear and the way of the Lord. And there's a lot said about that. And we understand tonight the world has a different view. I understand the world has always been against God's Word. And society has always tried to circumvent the Word of God and make their own way and try to find something that they think would be better that fits with the times. But you and I tonight as Bible believers, we know that God's Word is true. We know the Word of God is timeless. I was listening to someone the other day. I can't remember if it was in a service or maybe on the radio. But they said, you know, a lot of times we'll say the old time way. And this preacher said we ought to call it the timeless way. Well, that's true tonight. It is the old time way, but yet it's timeless. No matter what generation we're in, no matter how our society has deviated from what is right, I'm thankful the Word of God is timeless. There's no dates upon God's Word. I heard Brother Sammy Allen say years ago that your King James Bible is more accurate than the newspaper that's going to roll off the press in the morning. My, how true that is. Amen. Doesn't matter what generation it is. Doesn't matter what we're facing. I'm glad God's Word is the timeless truth. Now, in dealing with correction and discipline for the child, I want you to notice the last phrase of verse number 14. This is where I want to take my thought from tonight. He said, Solomon, the writer of the book of Proverbs, said, thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. Now, I just want to preach a simple thought tonight on saving your children from hell. If we were to go around the room tonight and I was to say, how many of you believe that it is our responsibility as a parent to feed our children? I think everybody would raise their hand. If I were to say to you, how many of you believe that it's our responsibility as a parent to clothe our children and to put a roof over their head and to see that they get an education and to take them to the doctor when they need medical attention and to do everything we can to give them a good life and to preserve their life and to raise them up in moral ways and to give them all the benefits that we can? Almost all of us, if not all of us tonight, would say yes. But do you believe tonight it's your responsibility to see that your child gets saved? Do you believe that tonight? You say, no, wait a minute, that's the Lord's responsibility. Well, I beg to differ there. I know that it is the Lord that saves. It is He that does the transaction of salvation. We cannot save our children as far as pushing them to a place in the altar and saying, okay, you must pray this prayer at this time. That's not what I'm talking about tonight. But I'm talking about what the Bible says. We are Bible believers. And Solomon tells us in verse 14 that if we'll correct our children and discipline them according to God's Word, he said, we shall save them from hell. I don't know about you tonight, but I didn't have children to watch them go to hell. I didn't have children to let them go and let them become whatever the world wants to mold them into or whatever they themselves, their own depraved nature wants to make them. I had children because, number one, I love the Lord and I wanted to raise up some children that would serve the Lord and carry on the gospel and go to heaven when they die and be a Christian that made a difference down here in this life. And I believe the only way that's going to happen, one of the many, many aspects of raising a child, but one of them tonight is right here found in these two verses. I want to look at this thought tonight, give you about five things out of these verses about saving your child from hell. Now, the first thing I want you to notice in verse 13, in the very first phrase, we begin by looking at parental responsibility. I love the book of Proverbs. Sometimes two or three verses will be on the same subject. Sometimes just one verse from verse to verse will be a total change in the book of Proverbs. There's enough preaching in the 31 chapters of the book of Proverbs to last a lifetime. I love reading the book. Every time I open it up, I get something fresh and something different out of it. It is a tremendous book with a lot of practical truth in it. Now in verse number 13, the Bible says here, withhold not correction from the child. We see tonight, number one, the parental responsibility that is involved in keeping our children from dying lost and going to hell. As I said before, I realize God does the saving. Jonah said when he came out of the belly of that whale, he said, salvation is of the Lord. He was testifying that God had saved him out of 3 days and three nights in the belly of that fish. And many, many places through the Bible, we realize it is God that does the transaction of saving that sinful soul and changing that person's life. But in our text tonight, we find there's a responsibility for us as parents to see fit that some things be instituted in their life. We live in a society that wants to play the blame game. We live in a society that doesn't want to take any responsibility, and that's crept into the local church. We want to blame everybody else for our problems. Hey, if something goes wrong in the church, let's blame the preacher. If something goes wrong in society, let's blame our government officials. If something goes on wrong down at the schoolhouse, let's blame the teacher. See, that's foreign to what I was raised in and to what many of you were raised in. When I was growing up, if you got in trouble down at the schoolhouse, you prayed to the Lord that nobody found out about it when you got home. You didn't run home like children do today and say, "Mama, Mama, the teacher got mad at me." And then little Mama march off down to the schoolhouse and put her hands on her hips and say, "Why did you chew my youngin' out?" One of my kids was telling me the other day they'd got fussed at for something by another adult. And you know what I told him? I said, "That'll do you good, amen. It'll build character in your life." He said, "Preacher, didn't you investigate that?" "No, I didn't investigate that." I said, "Why didn't you investigate that?" "Because they probably got by with 10 things that they didn't get fussed for, amen." It's not going to hurt your children to experience some things in life to mature them and make them what they need to be. Now, there's parental responsibility that is given here in verse number 13. Notice that there's a warning that is given here. Solomon said, "Withhold not." What is Solomon telling us tonight? He said, you had better take heed to what I'm about to tell you. He said, you better not withhold correction. You better not deviate from God's word. You better not find a way around it, because there is no way around it. You better not listen to what the world says. But he said, there's a clear warning here. You better listen to what thus saith the word of God. I'm thankful for every Christian that has written a good book that will help us and point us to the scripture and give us a little bit of insight. I'm thankful for those that have raised children on before us and turned out godly children. And we've been able to talk to people like that, read after them. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm going to tell you tonight, the final authority for raising children is found in God's word. The final authority for doing anything in life for the believer is found in the pages of God's word. And when God's word says it, no matter what anybody else says, God's word always has the authority if you're going to be right with God. You say, "Well, preacher, I read after so-and-so, and they say do it this way." Well, you know what? That's a good thing about living in America. You have the right to be wrong, amen? You have the right to follow somebody that don't know what they're talking about. I advise you not to do so. You remember years ago, Dr. Spock came out and began to change the mentality of many people that would follow his perverted writings. I just want to challenge you tonight. If you think that man had half a sense, you read about him. You go online and you look up about him. That man was a humanist. That man was so far from God. He wouldn't have known God if he'd have run into him headlong. He didn't know anything about God. He was wrapped up in all the vice and the filth of that generation. And he promoted an idea that children were to be let go and be permissive with them and let them find their own way. And that 60s and 50, 60, 70 generation, they found their own way, all right, amen. They found their own way into drugs and promiscuous sex and all kinds of filth and all that revolution that come to pass then. Listen, Solomon tells us in God's word, withhold not, amen. You and I tonight, I'm sure most of you made this choice, but there might be somebody here tonight, you've never made this choice before. I'm telling you tonight, if you're going to raise children and keep them out of the pit of hell and the flames of the fire, you better have correction in their life. Correction according to God's word. So there's a warning tonight. Withhold not. There's a work that is parental responsibility. Oh, goodness, preacher, please don't use that word. There is a work tonight, amen? It is a job to be a parent. If you're not going to raise your children and work at it, don't have them, amen? Don't have them. It is not right. One thing that angers me and upsets me is that people will have children and not work at being a parent, and then those children turn into adults that become a burden on society for the rest of their life. And guess what? Everybody else is trying to do right has to put up with somebody's children that they didn't want to work at. There's something wrong with that, amen? This welfare crowd, this prison crowd, this entitlement crowd, they all come from parents that wouldn't raise them right. For the most part, there's some of them that knew what was right and they went their own way. I understand that. But many of them were raised by parents that did not care, parents that didn't have enough sense to take care of their own selves, much less any children. And now tonight, you and I are bearing the burden of that. That's why our taxes are so high. That's why our streets are unsafe. That's why our society has passed so many frivolous laws as they have. Simply, if parents would be parents tonight, many, many of these things would stop and change, and we'd have a much greater society. So I want to remind you tonight, it's work. Look what Solomon said in verse 13. He said, withhold not what? Correction. Correction is work. Correction is not just fussing and whipping and going on and just leaving them alone. Correction is not saying do as I say and not as I do. Correction is a hands-on involvement in raising your children. Your children, my children, they're not going to accidentally turn out right. They're not going to accidentally serve God one of these days when they hit a magical age. They're not going to accidentally go to hell or heaven, excuse me. A matter of fact, everything in society is trying to keep them from heaven and make them go to hell. There's more against them in this society than any generation has ever faced. That's why we're seeing so many of our young people go astray. And it's happening. They're going astray from the church pews of fundamental Bible-believing Baptist church. Why is it? I believe one of the reasons why, one of the biggest reasons why, is because we're not doing what God said to do in the home. The home is very important. Now notice he said there's a warning. There is a correction. That correction means discipline, chasten. You have to be proactive to correct your children. You cannot let the TV correct your children. You cannot let the pastor correct your children. Most people won't do that anyway. Most people won't let the pastor correct them, much less their children, amen. But you've got to correct your children. You have to have a hands-on. And I'm telling you, when they're little, it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Some of you, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's constant correction. It's constant instruction. It's constant discipline. And we've got such a lazy society that people don't want to do that anymore. They just throw them out there. They just let them have their own way. They just buy into this new age mentality and then wonder why their life is such a wreck and wonder why their children make them miserable. I've had a lot of people come and talk to me over the years because we have a large family. They'd see us in a restaurant or something and come by and say things like this. They'd say, I don't know how you have so many children. I can't stand the one I've got. I'm going to tell you something. If you can't stand your children, it's your fault. Amen. If you can't stand your children, there's something wrong with your thinking and your actions. You need to back up. You need to figure out what it is and get it right. Children, I understand, will try us. I understand we'll weep over them. But thank God they're a joy tonight. Amen. There are heartaches and trials in correcting our children. But it's a joy to see them go forward and to serve God and get saved and do something for the glory of God. See, it's work tonight, and that's why a lot of people don't want to do it. The parental responsibility of warning is mentioned here, which is simply to withhold not. Work is mentioned here. Correction. And then when is mentioned in this verse also. Notice what he said. Withhold not correction from the child. So many times people will say, well, they're too little to discipline. They're too little to chastise. They're too little to use the rod of correction. So I'm going to wait a little longer. They wait a little longer, and they wait a little longer. And one day they're adults, and they've never even got involved in their life. One day they're teenagers, and they say, oh, goodness, things are out of control. I'm going to have to get up and do something now. Well, I'm going to tell you tonight, if you wait till they're teenagers, you have got a fight on your hands, amen. It's going to be real hard to let a child do exactly what that child wants to do for the first 10 or 12 years of their life. And then all of a sudden try to turn them when you've never disciplined them before. Discipline must begin while they are young. Proverbs chapter 13 tells us this. Verse 24 said, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chastiseth him betimes. That word betimes means before it's too late. That's what that word means. It means get a hold of that child, chastise that child, correct that child before it's too late. You ever been out in the woods, or maybe men or ladies, you planted a little sapling tree at your house, and if you're dealing with a little sapling, you can bend it, you can twist it, you can pull it over this way or that way if it's crooked, and you can take a wire and a stake and anchor it to the ground. But you ever tried to do that with a tree that's grown some years? You can't hardly do it. You see, when they're little is when you've got to correct them. When they're little, as soon as they begin to understand, it does not take them long. I'm not talking about 5 or 6 years old. I'm talking about when they're little toddlers, amen. You better understand that they come out of the womb smarter than we give them credit for. They know some things, amen. It doesn't take them long to know right from wrong. And it's our responsibility as parents to correct them and to labor in that correction and do it while they're young before it's too late. See, God's plan is if you'll start while they're young and if you'll begin to correct them. And can I say this tonight? This is the hardest part of correction. I think all of you that have raised children would agree with me tonight. The hardest part of correction is consistency. That is the hardest thing to do what you tell them that you're going to do. If you tell them, I'm going to spank you for that, you better spank them. One of the hardest things that we've ever had to do, and it's happened multiple times, especially when our kids were little, and we'd be out and something be going on, I'd say, I'm going to get you when we get to the house. And then maybe an hour or two go by and get to the house and pull up in the driveway, and you look in the rearview mirror, and that little sweet angel sound asleep back there. Oh, I mean, they're just the sweetest thing in the world. All of a sudden in your mind, you remember, uh-oh, I made a promise. And so many times, if we're not careful, we'll bypass that promise by how we feel. We must be consistent in disciplining our children if they're going to go and turn out the way God would have them to. Now, you notice tonight there's a parental responsibility. I got to hurry. Secondly, there's a particular route. I'm so thankful tonight that God has given us instruction, clear instruction, on how to discipline our children. I'm glad I don't have to go to the bookstore and check out a book on how to discipline my children. I'm thankful I don't have to get online and find the new idea of the day or the smartest person, quote unquote. I'm glad I can go to this timeless Bible this evening, and you can too, and I can find out exactly what God wants me to do in disciplining and correcting my children. Now notice this particular route that God gives us. And this is something that people absolutely do not like in this day. But notice what he said, withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Whoa, wait a minute, preacher. The Bible's advocating child abuse. That's not what the Bible's advocating. I am 150% against child abuse. Matter of fact, I'll go this far to say this. That a parent that would let their child go free and wild and never discipline them is child abuse. That's child abuse. What's so sad is to watch a little child get let go and let them run over everybody and do whatever they want. And then one of these days they continue to be let go and they die at an early age because they've never been restrained, or something bad happens in their life because of their undisciplined nature, and they pay the rest of their life for a parent that would not step up to the plate and be responsible. That's sad. That's heartbreaking. That is abusive of children. And I know we all have heard the stories. I know we've all talked to some people of generations gone by that this happened and that happened. I'm not saying there's never been abuse, but God is not advocating abuse tonight. We're going to see in just a minute how he tells us and instructs us to deal with our children in this correction. Now, the action is mentioned here in verse 13. Look what he said. He said, if thou beatest him with the rod. That's the action that he tells us. If you look up this word beat in the Strong's Concordance, it has a very broad spectrum of a definition. Yes, there is a side of beat that you would think of flailing on somebody and beating on somebody and causing intense physical harm. That's not what God is saying here. But there is a side of the word beat that means to strike in a corrective manner. And that's what God is saying here. I think we all know tonight that God created on every human being a particular place where that rod of correction is to be applied. He didn't say in the scripture we're to yell at our children. It's amazing to me how many parents would be offended at taking the rod of correction, but they'll scream like a banshee at their children. They'll curse their children. They'll call them stupid and idiots and dumb and this, that, and the other, but don't touch them with a rod of correction. That is more detrimental to them and more harmful to them than taking the rod of correction that God said to take and applying that rod of correction exactly where God said to put it. I think we know that tonight. I don't have to go into explanation, do I? Everybody knows where that rod of correction is supposed to go. It's not supposed to go upside the head, amen. It's not supposed to go in the face. That's abuse. But there's a real soft tissue place on the backside of every individual, amen. God's, and it's got a lot of nerve endings in it. Isn't that amazing how God made that, amen? I'm telling you, it don't take a whole lot to get your attention when things are done right. God created that place for the rod of correction to be used in disciplining our children and saving their soul from hell. And look at what he tells us. He said there's an action to strike the child. He said, and I know that goes against society. Listen, somebody said one time, said we practice time out. All right, listen, I have 9 children. I'm not an expert at all, but I do know a few things. And I think I'd rather reason with a Muslim terrorist than I would a 2-year-old. Amen. You can't reason with a 2-year-old. And if you got a 2-year-old, don't take offense, but I've been there. I've got 9 that have been 2-year-olds before, okay? I've every facet of every personality you can find in my 9 children. No 2 of them are alike. You can't reason with a little toddler like that that wants to scream and yell and beat and bang and throw things. You have to use correction, as the Bible says. It amazes me sometimes, and I try not to laugh about it, but I see parents sometimes. I see men that are maybe 175, 200 pounds, and here's a toddler that's 30 pounds, and they're saying, please do this. Oh, please, would you just please do this for daddy? Would you? Listen, there's something wrong with that. There's just something wrong with that. Remember, I wasn't raised in that generation. Many of you wasn't either. I don't understand that. I'm not real sure tonight that my daddy even knows the word please. If he does, I don't think he ever used it with me. Amen. And I'm thankful for it because it has helped me in my life. But I'm telling you, we have to step in as parents and go this particular route. There's an action here. We call it spanking, whipping, whatever you want to call it. It doesn't mean to be violent with them. It doesn't mean to be overboard and angry with them. Matter of fact, we're not supposed to discipline when we're angry. Oh, me tonight, how many of us have done that? How many of us have let our children push us to the threshold of anger before we did what we should have done? That's not right. That's not right. We should have stepped in before anger came. And we're all guilty of that tonight. We need to watch ourselves, especially as young parents. I'm telling you, you're high strung. I remember what I was like when I was a young parent. I mean, I was a daddy at 20 years old and high strung. And I mean, I was a sergeant in the Marine Corps. And poor old Scott, he's not here tonight, but he could stand up and testify. He was my first one and he was my trial. And he was a boy and I wanted him to be a man, you know, at 2 years old. And I'm telling you what, I learned some things. I didn't do everything right. Still don't do everything right. But I was so hard on him as a young man. I wanted him to be a man. Thank God he is a man. Amen. And I'm thankful how he has turned out. But we learn some things as we grow. We learn some things that maybe we should have been more attentive to and some things that we shouldn't have. But he tells us there's an action here. And then he tells us there's an application. Look what he said in verse number 13. He said, with the rod of correction. Now, I know there's some speculation on what that is, but I think we mountain people kind of figured it out a long time ago. It's a little keen hickory, amen? If you look up the definition of a word rod, it can go anywhere from a branch to a stick. And I don't think God's advocating getting a tree limb and beating on your youngin. That's not what he's saying. But that rod of correction, that object of that rod to strike the backside of that child is what will get their attention quicker than anything in the world. You can reason with them. You see, the way God designed this thing is this. If you'll use the rod of correction while they're little, there will come a day when you can reason with them. There will come a day when they get a little bit older that you can say, honey, go clean your room. And they'll say, yes, mama, yes, daddy. Or they might even not want to do it, but they know better than rolling their eyes. They know better than stomping their foot because you've corrected that out of them. You see, there'll come a day when if you raise that child the right way, that child will not stand in your face and scream at you. Amen? That child will not stand in your face and yell at you. Somebody told me the other day, said, boy, you must have got a hold of your boys when they were little. And I said, yeah, it's a good thing, praise the Lord. Look how big they are now. Amen? I'd be in a mess if my kids had done that to me. And my kids were not perfect by any means. I'm just saying tonight, if we will follow God's word, things will turn out the way they're supposed to. You notice tonight a parental responsibility, a particular route, the rod of correction. Now, look at this in verse 13. Boy, we've all faced this if you've raised children. There's a potential of reluctance. Look at the last part of verse 13. Notice the phrase that the Holy Spirit put in the heart of Solomon to write down. He said, he shall not die. Now, why did he say that? Why did the Spirit of God tell Solomon, if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die? Because you're going to think sometimes they're dying, amen? And they're going to think they're dying. Oh, my. One of mine, I can't remember which one, but we'd get ready to go. I'd say, come on, let's go to the bedroom. You know what it's time for. Let's go. And I'd get the rod of correction, and I'd get, and, oh, daddy, please don't do. I mean, they'd put on a show. Oh, if you love me, you'd forgive me. The Bible, I mean, it's a bad thing about raising Christian kids. They always want to quote the Bible on you. They don't want to quote it any other time until it's time to get a whipping, but they're going to quote the Bible. Hey, we don't enjoy that. I don't enjoy that. I've joked about it before, but I'm honest with you. I've never enjoyed having to whip my children. I've never went, you know, behind the door. I can't wait till I get a hold of you. There have been a time or two that it's been easier than others, amen. But I've never enjoyed that. I've never looked forward to that. There's been a lot of times I've had to make myself do that when my flesh and my emotions did not want to do that. But the Bible tells us right here there is a particular or a potential of reluctance by the parents. And that's what's happening in our generation. We've got parents that are moving upon feelings and emotion other than moving on the Word of God. You see, if you raise your children on emotion, it's not going to work. If you raise your children on feeling, it's not going to work. You're going to have to raise them according to God's Word. You're going to have to realize that some pain at a younger age is going to save them from much more pain as they get older and as they become an adult. You see, there's some adults tonight that nobody's going to get a hold of. There's some adults tonight the law can't even control. There are some tonight that are in the grave because nobody could stop them. And many, many times, if you backtrack it, there was a parent somewhere that gave in. There was a parent somewhere. And let me throw this in right now. Most of the time, I know sometimes it varies, but most of the time, God put in us as daddies to be disciplinarians. And can I say this to you, mama? The best thing you can do is when daddy gets ready to discipline, is to be quiet about it, okay? I know sometimes you're wanting to say, oh, let him go this one more time. Let him go. Don't whip him. Best thing you can do, mama, is let your husband be the man of the house. Let him be the daddy. Get on the same page. I know in every mama's heart there's that pull of that little baby no matter what he or she's done. Oh, I'm telling you, it's hard to sometimes see that. But I'm telling you, if you've got a husband that will discipline that child, and that is our responsibility, by the way, men. I know mamas can do it too, and many of you can do it very well, but the primary responsibility is for us men to do that. We're to step up to the plate and be the man, be the authority in the home, and do these things that are uncomfortable to do. But I'm telling you, if you got a husband to do that, ma'am, you back him, you pray for him. Don't you dare, especially in front of your child, criticize him for disciplining that child, or you will have trouble on your hands. I've seen that happen before time and time again. There is a potential reluctance, the concern, and then the cry. There's no doubt many times as we've disciplined our children, we thought, oh boy, they know how to turn the tears on. They know how to pitch the fit. They know how to scream and yell. But Solomon tells us right here in verse number 13, he said, if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. It's not going to kill him, I promise you. Go back about 60 or 70 years ago, find some of them old timers that are still alive and ask them how some of them got whippings, amen? It'd curl your toenails to find out how some of them got whippings. And I'm not saying all that was right. I'm just saying it's not going to kill our children to discipline them the way that God says. Matter of fact, it's going to save them much trouble in this life and eventually save their soul from hell. Now look at this. I got a couple more to give you and I'll be done tonight. Parental responsibility is a must. There's a particular route. It must be the rod of correction. There's a potential reluctance. We all have it in us to back off, to blend in with the world, to try other avenues of correction. But I'm telling you, the only way to do it is God's way. Somebody said this not long ago, and it bears repeating. Your best soul-winning tool as a parent is corporal punishment. And you see it right there in verse number 14. He said, he'll save his soul from hell. That's your best soul-winning tool as a parent, is teaching your child, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but teaching them through. The rod of correction is one of the greatest ways you can get that child to understand about God and about being saved. Now look at the fourth thing here tonight that Solomon deals with. He deals with a proper rendering in verse 14. There's a little repeat here from verse 13, but notice what he said. He said, thou shalt beat him with the rod. And again, there's a proper way. It's a must. There's no way around it. There may be somebody sitting right here tonight and you're thinking, well, that all sounds good, preacher, but I've got it all figured out. I'm telling you tonight on the authority of God's Word. If you go around this, you are going to reap the whirlwind. If you don't believe this, and it's your responsibility as a parent, it's your choice. But I'm telling you tonight, if you don't practice what's being taught here in these two verses, you will see the day that you regret in your life. You will see a day in your life where you sit weeping and crying with an uncontrollable young person in your house and you don't know what to do, and you can visit every preacher in the country, you can get everybody and their brother to pray for you, but things left alone when they were timely and that are not done right can never be turned around. There's a time issue here. And that's what the Lord is trying to teach us through this word tonight. There's a window of opportunity, and you let that go too long, it's going to take some major things if anything ever turns that around. I know of a young man, I don't know where he's at now, it's been several years, probably 15 years ago, this young man went to a church, and a friend of mine went to that church. I knew the young man, but I knew my friend much better. I didn't know the young man as well as he did. But it all come out that that young man was threatening his parents. I mean, it was so bad they would go in their bedroom and lock their doors at night because they were afraid this young man, 17, 18 years old, was going to hurt one of them. Boy, I'm telling you what, that burns me up. That fires me up. I cannot imagine that. I'm not going to live. There's not a man, I'm not being bragging tonight. I know there's a lot of men that could tear me limb from limb. There's not a man on this planet that I'm going to be afraid of. And I'm sure not going to be afraid of my children. Amen. There's something wrong. I don't think we have that here. But mom and daddy, if you're afraid of your children, something is wrong. Something is out of whack. You better get some help if it's not too late. God intended us to be the authority in that home and then raise them up and let them see that God will be that authority in their life. Now you see, there is a proper rendering, a must, in verse 14. He said, thou shalt beat him with the rod. There's no other way around it. I don't care who says what. I don't care what book's a bestseller. I don't care what somebody else says they've tried. God's word is the final authority. There's no other way around it. There's no time out. There's no this, that, and the other. Listen, you can take things from them if you want to, but there's a time in their life where the rod of correction must be applied if they are going to be what God would have them to be. There is a proper rendering. And then there's a mindset here. Look at what he said. He said, thou shalt beat them with the rod. Why do we do that? Do we do that because we're a bunch of weirdos as Christians and we just want to inflict pain on our children? No. That's not what we do that for. We do that because we love them. Dr. John R. Rice, one of the greatest preachers on the home there ever was. There was a lady came to him one time. He had preached a message on children in a home and correction. And a lady came to him and she said, I love my children too much to whip them. And Dr. Rice looked at her with a compassionate heart and said, no, ma'am, you love yourself too much to correct them. He said, it's not that you love your children, it's that you love yourself, and you don't want to be the bad person, and you don't want to feel bad, and you don't want to get into a situation that's uncomfortable, so you're going to let them go. And sadly, that's what happens to many, many children in our society and many, many children in our churches. You say, preacher, how do you know that happens? It's pretty evident, amen. When a family goes out to eat with a five-year-old and they can't sit through a meal without having 15 meltdowns, something's wrong, amen. Somewhere, somebody hasn't got a... There's been a time or two, and I'm not being ugly tonight, there's been a time or two I've almost got up out of my seat, went over, and just gently said, listen, I can help you with that with God's Word if you'll listen. That reminds me of a story. Many of you know Preacher Billy Kelly. He's in heaven now. Brother Billy Kelly was a very large man. Said one time he came out the days of Kmart. Some of us older people remember that. You young ones may not remember Kmart. Walmart's come around now and pretty much put Kmart out of business. But there, the days when I was growing up, most Kmarts outside of them had the little merry-go-round horses. You remember that? You put the little quarter in them and... Said he come out of a Kmart over in Tennessee one day and said, this lady's standing there, a little toddler on the horse going around, and she's just weeping. Oh, 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 she's crying. He walks over and said, ma'am, can I help you? I'm a preacher. Is there anything I can do for you? She said, I don't know what to do. He said, little Johnny won't get off the horse. Can you help me? He said, oh, yeah, I can help you. Said he went over and whispered in little Johnny's ear. Little Johnny jumped off the horse, ran over, grabbed mama's hand. She said, mister, how did you do that? That's amazing. What did you say to him? He said, I just told him I was bigger than him. If he didn't get off that horse, I'd beat the devil out of him, amen. And I know that's a little exaggerating, but the point is authority, amen, authority. I remember growing up that you were liable to get whipped at somebody else's house. I've been whipped, spanked, whatever you want to call it, amen, by aunts and uncles, by school teachers, by parents of friends that I've went home with, amen. That's just the way it was. And I'm glad I grew up in that society. I'm glad I couldn't go anywhere and do anything, because if I had been let go that way, there is no telling what a mess my life was in. I knew that everywhere I went, if there was an adult present, there was an authority over me that would snatch me up if need be. And I didn't like it at the time, but I'm thankful for it tonight. There's a proper rendering. Let me give you one more thing and we're done tonight. I want you to look at this. We've cut up a little bit, but here's the seriousness of it. There is a promise result. Look in verse 14. He said, thou shalt beat him with the rod. And here's the serious now. And shalt deliver his soul from hell. We see the seriousness of it. Here's what God says in his word. Whether or not you use corporal punishment to discipline your child, their soul hangs in the balance. That's what God's word says. Their soul hangs in the balance. If the Bible tells me to use the rod and it will deliver his soul from hell, then the flip side of that is if I choose not to use the rod of correction, then I'm going to allow my child to die and go to hell. You say, preacher, how does that work? Well, this is how it works. If you will use the rod of correction the right way and in the right spirit, as that child is little, and as that I'm telling you, listen, when you don't need to have 50,000 safety features around your house. Just a good keen hickory limb will keep them out of some things that they don't need to get into. When you have, if you've never had a child and some of you getting ready to have a child and you get that newborn in the house, I'm not saying leaving dangerous things out, but don't totally remodel your house. Don't put everything up, all the little breakables and stuff. Teach them at an early age. That's off limits. Don't touch that. Don't go there. Don't do that, or I'm going to use the rod of correction on you. And if you will do that while they're little, in the little things, it will progress in their life, and they'll learn as they get older in the bigger things. And this is what happens, you see. This is why Satan pressures parents so much not to use corporal punishment. This is what happens. If you let your child go in discipline while they're little, then what's going to happen is there'll come a day where they don't mind any adult. And then there'll come a day they get out in society and they don't mind the law. That's why you got these thugs at 16, 17 years old running from police officers, shooting at them, trying to kill police. We wouldn't have dreamed. I'm telling you, when I was growing up, if you saw a blue light in the rearview mirror, you mailed it, amen. I never thought about mashing the gas, amen. I just thought about, oh goodness, when I get pulled over here, what's going to happen to me? That's what happens when you don't discipline your children according to God's word. Then one day they're going to reject you. Then they're going to reject the law, and they're going to spend days and months and years in and out of prison, up and down, always before judges, always in trouble. And the saddest thing about it all is one day when God knocks on their heart, they've never had to obey your authority. They've never had to obey anybody else's authority. They've never had to obey the law of the lands. And when God knocks on that heart of that precious child that you brought into this world and you've wept over and you've loved on, when God knocks on their heart, they're going to thumb their nose to God and say, forget you, I don't have to listen to you. And they'll lift up their eyes in a literal burning hell, all because you did not want to be the parent God told you to be. Say, preacher, that's pretty harsh. I know it is, but that's the word of God. That's what it is. I don't want to see your child go to hell. God doesn't want to see your child go to hell. This church doesn't want to see your child go to hell. There's a promised result. The seriousness of it is the soul, and the salvation of it is here in verse 14. Shout. He didn't say you might. He didn't say maybe. He said thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. That's what the Bible says tonight. I'm telling you, we need to get back to old-fashioned discipline. We need to get back to Bible discipline. I know it's not popular, amen? I know people don't. I know that people will try to shame you. Listen, I'm a different kind of person. I never have really cared too much about what people thought with me raising my children. They're my children, amen? I'm going to stand accountable for them. I have fed them. I have clothed them through the help of God. And I don't need anybody outside of God's word telling me how to raise my children. If somebody comes up and says, oh, you ought not do that, and it's against God's word, I'm going to tell them mind their own business. Because God's word said this is how we do it. And if you're a parent that is easily influenced by the world, you better ask God to help you. You better get on your knees in prayer and say, God, help me go according to your word instead of according to this world. If you will do that, I'll promise you there'll be a day in your life where you'll be able to sit back and watch your children as adults live a productive life, serve the Lord, live clean, walk right, be a blessing to society, and maybe even get to see some grandchildren and great-grandchildren going the same way if we'll do it God's way. I'm telling you tonight, we can save our children from the pit of hell. Much by the way we correct them. I hope and pray tonight that you have this already established in your heart. And if you don't have this established in your heart tonight, I pray you young parents, God would convict you tonight, and get a hold of this. And I'm telling you, daddies, again, it's our responsibility to lead this way. It's our responsibility, as it is in everything in the Bible, to lead our families in the paths of righteousness. If we will correct our children according to God's Word, we'll be happy for it one day. We'll be thankful for it. And you know what they'll do? Boy, I've watched it. I've watched it so many times. I've watched my children before when I had to discipline them, and boy, I didn't want to. Man, I had to get the rod of correction. I had to inflict pain on them. Do you know what I've seen happen many, many times? I've seen them come around a little while later, put their arms around me and say, Daddy, I love you. Daddy, I'm thankful for that. Boy, I'm telling you what, God's Word is right. And I'm telling you tonight, I was disciplined as a child, but I thank God for it. I thank God for it. I thank God for keeping me out of jail and out of prison because of the discipline that I was raised in. I didn't do everything right, and what I did wrong, it was my fault because I snuck around and did it. But I'm telling you, I didn't get by with things out in the open. I'll promise you that. And I am thankful for that tonight. There are people I went to school with that died young and were buried and in a grave because they had no discipline in their life. I'm thankful tonight for the discipline that God put in my life as a young person. And I pray tonight that we'll get a hold of this and practice it in our homes and see some children raised for the glory of God. Amen. Just love and pray for sinners
till our God makes all things new. Thank you for joining us for today's Pulpit Hour, brought to you by The Preaching Channel. To listen to this message once again in its entirety, for a free download of this message or a variety of any other messages, or to listen to preaching 24 hours a day, you can visit the Preaching Channel at WGCRpreaching.net. If you don't have download capabilities, feel free to call and order a CD copy of today's message at 828-884-9427.